Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Now, the Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a junior Bassmaster Championship, high school national championship, college national championship, and the college bracket event, leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information about how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Nation tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products, and for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. This week, we bring you our Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic Big 3, and what a classic it was. Jeff Gustafson became the first ever Canadian to win the biggest prize in all of bass fishing, the Ray Scott Trophy as Classic Champ, as he held off a furious charge by Brian Schmidt and Scott Canterbury, who were targeting largemouth as Gussie was trying to finish off a smallmouth limit. Gussie left the door open, but Schmidt and Canterbury came up just a little bit short, and you're going to hear from all three of them today, beginning with the third place finisher, the 2019 Angler of the Year, Alabama's Scott Canterbury. Scott, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, thanks for carrying the flag, for the Southeastern Anglers, because, I mean, you had a guy from Maryland, a guy from Canada, and, one guy from Alabama. So all those Tennessee anglers, struggling a little bit, but you were at least able to kind of show them how they do it in the South a little bit.
Well, a little bit. I did. I fished my strengths. I fished the exact way I wanted to do, and it really worked out. I mean, as good as I would have expected, especially after a really tough practice. It's just, I really thought the fish were moving up even the final day, and I just couldn't make it happen. But it was good. It was a really good tournament.
Yeah, and it was getting better and better for you. And now you fish away. I love the fish. I mean, you're throwing a jig, you're throwing a spinnerbait, and you're throwing a chatterbait. When you went in, is it, look, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, or is it something that you really felt that this was a potential winning, technique?
When I went over there, it's the Bassmaster Classic. It's first or nothing, really. I mean, you try to win. And, I fought. By keeping up with the local tournaments the last week or two, I really thought that smallmouth was going to win the tournament, and eventually they did. But if it was going to be one with smallmouth, I knew that those guys like Gussie was going to figure them out a lot better than I could. And I didn't, and I know that he won there last time in the canal. And I tell you, I didn't go within 3 or 4 miles of that canal the whole practice. So I stayed away from it. I fished the exact way I wanted to do, and everything happened like I wanted it to. I mean, we had a big warming trend, exactly like I thought we needed. The only thing, the thing that hurt me, I think, was the water wasn't stable. It was falling, and then it started really the last day. It was really rising, really, really fast. And I wish it would have been a foot higher, mm-hmm. like it was when we fished there a couple of years ago. There would just been more cover in the water. The fish would have been a little bit more secure around that shallow cover, and I think it would have made a difference. But, if the tournament would have been a day or two later, with that warming trend and a smallmouth heading to the bank, who knows what would have happened. But, you know, congrats to Gutsy. He figured it out again. Without winning in the canal, he still figured it out and dominated that tournament.
Almost gave it back to you guys, though. I mean, just two fish, of course, being that there were smallmouth and it was an 18-inch limit, those two fish were good for over 6 pounds. But did you have any idea heading in that, you know what, maybe this 12 pounds, maybe I got a shot? Or did you think, nah, I'm just fishing for second place?
You know, when we left that day, I felt like I was fishing for second place. I mean, really and truly, we all sort of felt like we were fishing for second. But everybody thought that Gussie would catch, you know, a big limit. But, you know, midday, I was catching a few fish, and I had a limit, and I had a few spectators get around me, and then more photographers showed up, and a drone was ship flying. And you sort of get a feeling that you're doing good. I mean, I actually felt like I needed two of those big ones like I had been getting every day late in the day, four to four and a half pounders, maybe a 5 pounder, 6 pounder to make a run at it, where all I really needed was a 4 1/4 and I win the tournament. So, you know, I mean, I was giving it everything I had trying to make that happen, and it just didn't do it. But I mean, it was still overall, I wouldn't change a thing about it.
So when Robbie Floyd shows up, are you like, what the hell's going on here? Why is Robbie Floyd going hanging around by me? I mean, what was your thought process there? And can you hear him? Because I was concerned. Can you actually hear him? Because he wasn't that far from you, and he's talking about Gussie struggling. And I'm like,
well, he was asking me a bunch of questions. And I mean, I finished fifth at the Classic in Texas, and he was around me a lot that day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had some really good tournaments in the past and championships, and guys do get around you. They try to get you some coverage. So, you know, I sort of felt like that if I could catch that big bag, you know, I still thought I was going to need 18 or 20 pounds to have a chance at it. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't. I mean, but it was a good tournament overall. I mean, I fished my strengths, and, you know, I fished clean all week. I had some fish wrap me up, and I ended up landing them. So it was good.
So, Scott Canterbury was here talking about his third place finish in the Classic, and it was a good feeling for him, a 2019 Angler of the Year. You know, you say you threw that spinnerbait quite a bit as well, but it got you know, Slick Tom on day three there on Championship Sunday. Does that take you out of the spinnerbait deal because of the fact, you know, everybody always likes wind with spinnerbait?
You know, it hurt it a little bit, but anytime I got around some dirty water, I would still pick it up and throw it. I caught a 3 pounder on it early, which really helped me that day. And, you know, one thing that I really thought was going to happen, I thought I was going to catch them on the Canterbury Pro Buzz, mm-hmm. Fishing a buzz bait, and ended up Cobb caught them on that, you know, the last day. And I threw it a good bit. I never did get a bite on it in practice or the tournament, but if I could have got that going, it would have took the place of the spinnerbait in that calm weather.
Yeah. Tell me about your setup for the bladed jig as well. I know you had a little spanky on there on the back, that net bait little spanky, but tell me about how you set that up and what you like to throw it on, because there's a lot of guys lately are throwing that thing on a crankbait rod. Other guys, you know, going with a composite rod. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I designed a rod that we actually built it for a chatterbait, and it's from Halo. It's the Canterbury Signature Series rod. The 7.3, it's called an X medium heavy, but it's got a good soft tip with a lot of backbone in it. And I throw it on 15 pound, 100% fluorocarbon from P-Line. I was throwing a 7.3-1 reel, 3/8 chatterbait was the size. I caught a few on a 1/2 ounce too, but I was throwing a 3/8 mainly. And, you know, that rod, I really like a little bit bigger rod. You know, a lot of people was throwing crankbait rods and stuff for those chatterbaits. And, you know, when Phoenix came out with a vibrating jig and stuff, mm-hmm. and it had an O'Shaughnessy light wire hook in it, I think that was great. But these baits that we're throwing now has got a little meatier hook and stuff, and I like a rod with a little bit of backbone, and it seems to help me. And that rod, I use that same rod to throw my buzzbait on, my spinnerbaits on. I use that rod for a lot of things, but it's a good chatterbait rod.
There you go, Scott Canterbury with us here. All right, so you're going to get back at it. You're going to head over to Lake Murray and a Sandy Cooper. You started out really strong at Okeechobee with the 18th place finish there. Stumbled a little bit at Seminole. Have this good Classic. Does this kind of boost your confidence a little bit as you head for South Carolina?
You know, it really does. I've been making good decisions on the water. I feel like I have. You know, Okeechobee was a good tournament for me. I wasn't ever really around the fish to win that tournament or anything. I never did catch big ones, but, you know, I didn't have but like two fish for 3 pounds day two of that tournament at 12 o'clock. And I left the area, and I pulled up in the area that I practiced in and caught 18 pounds almost in the last couple of hours of day two, and sort of saved my tournament, and I kept it rolling day three. I caught some big ones on a buzzbait in that one at Okeechobee, which I've never done. And like, I don't even know if anybody's ever thrown a buzzbait. They hit it so hard, it was crazy. Like, they've never seen it down there, but it was a lot of fun. And then Seminole was one that I was really looking forward to. I've got really a lot of history on Seminole, and I just let the weather get me there. That wind muddied up the areas I was trying to fish. But I made pretty good decision. I caught a whole bunch of fish. I just never got a four-pound bite. If I'd have caught a four-pounder or so, that one would have been a different story. I mean, actually, I tried to start on the reed head. I mean, I gave it to him. He beat me there by, you know, 30 or 40 yards, and I just gave it to him. He caught 20 pounds off of it the first day. So, I mean, you know, if things you can't control. You know, if I'd have been an early boat number, that's exactly where I'd have started, and I'm sure I would have caught him there. It was loaded, but I gave it to him, and he made the best of it in that tournament.
All right, Scott Canterbury with us. All right, last question before I let you go. On stage on I think it was Saturday, you dropped a roll tide on him there in Knoxville. I mean, you know what I mean? You had to do it. You had to drop a roll tide on him, and everybody started to cheer. And then they realized what you said, and then they started booing you a little bit. Did you hear any of the boos?
It was pretty loud. It was a lot of booing going on, but there was some cheering too. I mean, yeah. I was just trying to have fun with it, and that's what it's all about when it comes down to it. You know, I get to fish for a living, and I mean, I love doing it. Anytime, it's a blessing anytime I get up to get and go fish for a living. So we're going to keep having fun with it, and hopefully we can catch a few more fish and cash a few checks this year.
Well, good luck the rest of the way. We appreciate you jumping on with us. Remember, top three always come on the show, so hopefully we'll be talking again down the road.
I sure hope so.
All right, man.
I appreciate it, man. Hopefully we'll be in touch again this year.
All right, thank you. That's Scott Canterbury. He's a great guy, man. He's a great dude. Been on the show a number of times. All right, we're going to break in, and when we come back, Brian Schmidt finished second in this deal. He's up next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives, and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham, and I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats, built by anglers for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
Five fish for 22 pounds even, becoming a two-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year.
Hi, I'm Gerald Swindle, Bassmaster member. I don't care if I'm in California, Oregon, or France. If I see a bass sticker in a window of a truck or a car, I got something in common with that person. Why don't you come and join me and you be a member?
Get these free gifts when you join today, a $50 value. Go to Bassmaster.com/join and become a member of America's leading bass fishing organization.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for my friends at 13 Fishing. I can't tell you how excited I was to learn that two-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year, Gerald Swindle, had teamed up with the crew at 13 Fishing to build the ultimate rod and reel series that combines quality with a price point that works for all. The result is the Meta line of rods and the Inception G2 line of reels, designed to the exacting standards of the G-Man. This is the same gear Gerald bagged over 100 pounds of fish with at Lake Fork last season. Look for them this spring.
It's your boy Seth Fighter, and I'm going to give you my picks for the Rapala Fantasy Fishing.
That's kind of where my picks are going, guys, who are good little egg time.
Got a lot of experience. I think he led a day or two last year.
Post-spawn fish that are a little bit finicky. They've been, you know, hit pretty hard through the storm. They wanted to feed up.
But in bucket A, there was one name jumped out on that list. Me!
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Squarebills, and the Shad Wrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinnerbaits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Now, welcome back. This segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio is brought to you by the fine folks at Anderson County, Lake Hartwell, and Visit Anderson. If it didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. That is for sure. Lake Hartwell is absolutely gorgeous. The Green Pond Landing is second to none out there. It is the model for ramps all over and facilities all over the country as well. They do a tremendous job. And when you're planning your next trip, think about Anderson, South Carolina. It is a wonderful little town. Every time we go there, my wife loves to shop. She loves to go with me when I go there to fish a tournament or just to go fishing. And it's a great place to stay. And of course, Lake Hartwell, you'll love as well. All right, joining us now, a guy that finished second in this derby at the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic. He made one heck of a charge on day three. He is Missile Pro Brian Schmidt. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing good, guys. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you joining us, and let's start with this. Weights went down. You had a great first day with 16-1, 13-12. Obviously kept you right there in the mix on day two, 11-1 on day three. Did you have any idea when you were coming in from Fort Loudoun that maybe that was enough to catch Gussie, or did you think you all were just fishing for second place?
It's the craziest thing, man. So, no, to make a long story short, I thought I was actually fishing for, like, maybe keep a top five position. I thought I had such a poor day. We all thought Gussie, you know, we kind of are joking about, like, he was going to be back eating lunch at noon at the boat ramp with his live well full of big smallmouth, you know. So it was just mind-blowing. I, you know, around noon, I didn't even have anybody following me anymore. I'm fishing the classic, the final day, and I literally had a shot to win, and it was like I was just fishing a regular tournament. It just felt peaceful and just unbelievable. And then I get back and checked in, and I looked at my phone, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's a chance here. So then nerves really got going, and my stomach was in knots. I was a mess.
Going in, let's talk about it a little bit going in. You know, this wasn't exactly your type of fishery. I mean, you're one of the great grass fishermen, anywhere around. You already have a win from Champlain and of course you got it done at the Mississippi River to get into this deal. Did you think going in that you had a shot at this fishery?
So here's what I think, people have missed a little bit. Just like you mentioned there, this is a river, and the Tennessee River system, this is the top of it. This is actually two bona fide rivers feeding into Loudoun. Like, it's the most river of all the Tennessee rivers. So with that being said, man, the water was low. I felt very comfortable this week, and understanding current was a big thing and how the fish stage and stuff. So I think people didn't realize, you know, cause like doesn't have grass. They're like, man, he's not going to probably do good, but I kind of click with rivers in general. And yeah, I was able to get on a little deal pretty early in practice. Didn't know how good it is. You know how it is. We're always like, maybe, you know, maybe. You're scared to think it could be good. You don't want to jinx it.
Right.
It worked out.
Yeah, it worked out with John Cruz's Missile Baits Mini Magic Worm as well. I love the Magic Worm, and I hadn't really fished the Mini Magic yet. Just talk about that, because when you set it up on that swim bait head, that's a goofy-looking swim bait head that we hadn't seen before. That's got that little, you know, got a lip basically on it that makes it move around. And then you had the Floatzilla hanging on the back of it, which helped lift the tail of the worm up. I mean, this was a pretty unique setup that you had.
Yeah, so here's this whole thought process here. So, you know, I sampled a few pieces of structure and practice, and I'm like, man, look, this is a classic. You can't throw a spinner rod for largemouth. You got to throw big line, and you know, if you're on TV, you're going to look like you're not fishing for big ones and this, that, and the other. Well, look, I couldn't get bite anything else. And I started off practice with the traditional magic worm, which is a 6-inch, and the shaky head style was what they wanted. I tried drop shot and I couldn't catch a drop shot. And I tried Carolina rig. I tried slow fishing a jig. They wanted a shaky head. John actually dropped off a bunch of mini magic worms the night before a tournament in my hotel. I was like, hey, you know, got a new bait you might want to try. And I'm like, dude, you know, this is even better because they wanted something small, man. These fish, I don't know how to explain it. They were very hard to catch. Even fishing cover like that I was, that not a lot of people were fishing, these fish were intelligent. So I had it juiced up pretty good, man. I mean, I had the Floatzilla capsule in the tail. It would float the tail up. You know, so if you're letting it sit on a slow presentation, all of a sudden the tail floats up naturally, you know, and it, that would get a few extra bites. And, you know, that the head I was using is a first-gen jaw dropper head. It has a little bit of a shimmy. It's a little bit different than traditional shaky heads. Felt like all these components were getting me a few more bites.
Now, when you were fishing it on that jaw dropper jig head, are you fishing it like a shaky head, or are you swimming that a little bit?
So what I would do, thanks to the live scope, I could really see the structure. I could see the way the fish were positioned. If I felt like I could get a cast there, you know, without hanging up, swimming, I would swim it very slow by the structure. Mm-hmm. And then with that head set up, let's say I made a couple casts like that, then I would try to fish it slow near the structure. But the real slow reel with that head, it has a shimmy. It's a very unique presentation that I don't think the fish have seen a bunch yet.
Yeah. The drop shot too that you had set up, you know, people think drop shot, they're thinking, well, that must be what Gussie was doing out there fishing for smallmouth in 25 feet of water. You were running that drop shot. It looked like you were throwing it at some brush and some wood that was offshore a little bit, and maybe exposed a little bit. Just talk about that technique and how you kept from hanging that thing up. Cause I think one of your better fish, you actually had him hung in the bush for a second and then he swum out for you a little bit, but, just talk about the way you applied that drop shot.
So a little bit thicker targets, you know, like you spoke of the brush or a bigger tree under the water, a little more snaggy. I would go with the weedless drop shot setup. Mm-hmm. You know, I've really fallen in love with the 957 hook from Hayabusa. It really sticks them. This was a very weedless approach to still give them the finesse profile. And, you know, a couple real key fish come on that as well. You know, one of the fish, I lost a really key fish day one, and I believe I caught it on day two. I went back to that piece of structure late and caught a real nice one.
And Brian Schmidt with us, $50,000 for second place at the Bassmaster Classic. And again, he didn't really feel the pressure of fishing for the win because of what Jeff Gustafson had done in the first 2 days. As you say, when you found out, when you were able to get your first look at Bass Track, how did you feel about your estimated weight? Are you a weigh every fish kind of guy, so you knew exactly what you had? Or were you hoping that maybe when they put that thing on the scales, it was a couple of pounds heavier than what you thought?
Okay, so usually I don't weigh them, and I'm very, you know, quick about, hey, I want to save time and get back in the water. So I put them in the live well quick and get back to work. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the math. I'm like, man, how big was that one? How I'm starting to calculate in my head. I'm like, you know, I need 13 or 12 something. I'm hoping I got more than 10, and I knew it would be close. Okay, you know, there's always a chance, like, how big are they really? Because I didn't weigh them. But I was a nervous wreck, man. Absolute nervous wreck. No idea it was going to be that close. Like I said, we knew Gussie was going to close it out. He did. Gussie finished it off. He won. Dude, it's impressive for what he did, to be honest with you, because he won an event doing the same thing there 2 years ago. Everybody in the field knew it. Everybody in the field knew what he was going to do, tried to do the same thing as him, and couldn't. For him to still be able to do it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was tremendous. So what he did, it was tremendous what you did, and it certainly made the show on Sunday a lot more enjoyable as you made quite the run, as did Scott Canterbury, for sure. Brian Schmidt has been our guest. Brian, we appreciate you. Good luck the rest of the season. You're off to a decent start. I know it struggled a little bit at Okeechobee, got better for you at Seminole, and I expect it's going to continue to get better for you the rest of the year. Wish you the best of luck, and remember, top three always come on the show, so hopefully we'll be talking to you again later this season.
Thank you big time, guys. Look out for me. I'm hungry.
He's hungry. He is hungry, and he's Brian Schmidt. Excellent job at that guy. That guy wins a lot of tournaments, by the way. He has a lot of tournament wins in his past. All right, we will get a break in here. When we come back, the Rapala Winner's Circle with Jeff Gustafson is next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Squarebills, and the Shad Wrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinner baits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish. Tom Abraham here from my friend Brian Hammaker and his team at North Alabama Mortgage. Look, buying a home is the biggest purchase you will make in your life, and it can be a bit intimidating, so you want people that can help walk you through the mortgage process and get you the best deal possible. That's what North Alabama Mortgage does, and they do it in Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida, from first-time purchases to refis, conventional, VA, FHA, and USDA loans. They have the solution at North Alabama Mortgage. Visit NorthAlabamaMortgage.com to learn more. That's North Alabama Mortgage.com.
There's so much to do, see, and experience in Anderson, South Carolina. Plan your next outdoor adventure with a visit to Lake Hartwell, boating, fishing, hike and bike the nearby trails, experience some history, and after, enjoy the numerous restaurants, shops, and experiences Anderson has to offer. Visit Green Pond Landing right there on Lake Hartwell, perfect launch point for pleasure boating, fishing, kayaking, or just a nice walk beside the water. Come see why Anderson is called South Carolina's bright spot. Check it out at visitanderson.com. That's visitanderson.com.
John Cruz and Missile Baits have done it again. This time they have teamed with Hog Farmer Baits to bring you the Spunk Shad. This bait can be fished like a swim bait or as a trailer on your favorite bladed jig. And now they are available from Missile Baits. Also new this year is the Magic Worm, which did some serious damage on tour last year. They could just call that one the Moneymaker. Missile Baits is also home to the classic D-Bomb, the Baby D-Bomb, the Quiver Worm, and one of my favorites, the Destroyer and Baby Destroyer. Go to missilebaits.store to learn more. That's Missile Baits.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, well, it's time now for the Rapala Winner's Circle and our big show, our top three show coming off of that amazing 53rd Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic up there on Teleco and Fort Loudoun. And for our winner, Jeff Gustafson, it was a Teleco Lake tournament. And he joins us now on a hook with VMC. And he joins us now. Gussie, congratulations. Welcome to the show.
Oh man, I'm still kind of at a loss for words that this happened, and I'm pinching myself. And I had some friends that drove home with us. We got home late last night, and we kept looking at that trophy in the truck over the last couple days on the ride back, and I mean, just pretty much just looking at it and giggling like this actually happened, and it did, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, and of course you were carrying the weight of an entire country, because I mean we now have four Canadians on the Elite Tour and all very, very good fishermen. This is your second win now, and first Bassmaster Classic. But do you really, as it's going on, I mean, do you really feel that? I mean, what has the reaction been like in Canada? I mean, is this something that was picked up as a national story around Canada that Canadian Jeff Gustafson has won the Bassmaster Classic, the Super Bowl of bass fishing?
Yeah, I mean, over the last couple of days, I've done several radio interviews with some of the big centers, Toronto and Winnipeg, which is our sort of closest city to where we live. And I felt the love for sure. And During the event, I mean, there's a lot of people up here that love bass fishing, a lot of good anglers. And whenever any of us, like Chris or Corey or I and Coop now too, when we do well in an elite tournament, we get a lot of support and we hear it and we know about it. And I don't know that I had extra pressure because of that. I mean, I think I'm fairly good at when it's time to be, you know, tournament hours, I go out there and just try and do my job and not, you know, obviously Sunday was as high of pressure situation as I'm ever going to be faced with in my life. And I had the shakes for a lot of the day. I mean, I really did. I've never experienced that before. And I was nervous. There was a lot on the line and I knew it was going to be a hard day. And it worked out. I mean, the first day, everything just went absolutely perfect. I caught them quick and pretty easy. And the second day, the plan worked. I got my five keepers, but it was a lot harder than it looked probably for people the second day. And I only had a couple of spots. Like it, you look at the weights in the, you know, the first 2 days, like everything looked really easy, but it was harder than it looked. And then on Sunday that was, you know, obviously very visible to everybody, but, by some miracle, my two fish I caught were enough and we got to bring that big, beautiful trophy home. So
yeah,
it was amazing.
Yeah. Now, when you were practicing, was it a lot of just looking at them or did you, cause you know, smallmouth can be finicky that way. And as you say, you know, we'll get into the details of what happened on Sunday and the weather changes and so on. But throughout the 3 days of official practice, you know, take us through that a little bit. You know, were you sticking a lot of fish or were you just kind of looking for schools?
Yeah, no. So when I got there, obviously the first place I went to look at was the canal where I caught them last time. And I get there and it's like, there's more fish in here now than there was in 2021. Like this is unbelievable. And then, you know, it got pretty busy. A lot of the guys were checking it out. And then Saturday morning, I got to the ramp for the second day of practice and there was a big tournament going on. And that canal was getting just blistered by a lot of people in that tournament. And at that point, I realized no one's going to win the classic in this canal. It's just getting too much pressure. I felt like I could hopefully take a few fish out of there, you know, but you weren't going to be able to like do what I did last time and just like catch a bunch. They just were hard to catch. You'd mark quite a few of them, but they were really hard to catch. And then I started to head down into Teleco and look and look and look, and it didn't feel like anything was going to be, you know, like you were going to find anything. And then all of a sudden I noticed a little bit of rock on my side imaging, turned around, threw the trolling motor in, dropped my bait down, and the bottom just came alive. And there was, I mean, I don't know how many fish, lots, and they were big ones and easy to catch. And I caught a couple of them and left. And then a few hours later that afternoon, I found another big school. Same deal, just saw a little bit of hard stuff on the bottom and dropped a bait down there, and all of a sudden all these fish just appear. And then the final day of practice, the Wednesday, I went down there again and looked all day and I didn't really find anything good. I caught a few, found a couple, but not like these big schools like on these two spots. And then, you know, from Sunday when I found the fish until Friday, it was a long time. And the weather was, you know, it was cold when I found them. And then by the weekend, it got hot. Like it was hot. And I think there was less fish there, but there were still quite a few. And, you know, they're probably all gone now. But I think if the tournament would have been a few days later, I probably would have not been able to do what I did. And if it was a few days earlier, everything would have went a lot easier than it did. It was just I got pretty lucky, like with the way everything sort of ended up, where I was able to still catch some fish and you know, obviously have some success. But it's funny, like that's sort of your luck factor in these tournaments sometimes. Like you just got to get a few little breaks to go your way, and I certainly did over the weekend.
Classic champ Jeff Gustafson with us here in Arapahoe Winner's Circle as we talk about his great win at the Bassmaster Classic. And all right, so take us through, educate us a little bit, because you're a guy that you spent a lot of time guiding as well. I don't feel guide as much in the future as you've done in the past, but you like educating people. So when you say looking, I mean, Teleco, it's still a big body of water. Is it just strictly looking, you know, slowly idling around, looking at the electronics, or do you first look at the mapping and say, okay, here's a point, here's 20 feet of water, let's go see if there's rocks on the end of that point? There's something that gets you started before you start looking at the electronics.
Not so much. I mean, I mostly just get out there and pick, here, I'm going to start here and work down, you know, for a few miles up this side. You just kind of go with the flow. Like, I don't do a ton of, like, pre-scouting before I go to these things. You just... Mm-hmm. And neither do most of the guys that I sort of travel with and roll with. I mean, you got to be pretty nimble out there. Like, when we go to these venues and for these elite tournaments or the classic, you got to just, like, the conditions for the few days that you're there are more important. It's more important to fish those conditions than go there with preconceived notions of, you know, I can look at a map and quickly break it down if I feel like I've learned, I know something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, the looking around on Teleco was just, yeah, like, start on this bar and go and look at every point and piece of structure and look for just, you know, I had the Hummingbird side imaging rolling all the time and just looking for something different. And the unique thing out on Teleco is that there's not a lot of stuff on the bottom. I mean, it's a lot of plain.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's mud or sand, but it's just a lot of plain nothingness, and that made it where if you found a little bit of rock or something that was different and unique, there was a good chance it was going to hold some fish, and it was just hard to find it though. I mean, I got lucky and found a few places, and then the other thing that made it time consuming was, like, you had to go and kind of put a bait down there to see the fish too. You wouldn't just idle around along and just see them all stacked up like you might with largemouths at Gunnersville or Pickwick later in the year when they get out there. You know, it was just the smallmouths were really glued to the bottom. But if you put that jerk shad down there, they would show themselves real quick. And then you'd know if you were around a good spot or not. That was kind of, but it was time consuming because you almost had to go to every point and idle it. And then, like, nothing really looks good here, and just carry on to the next one. Or, like, oh, that there's a little bit of rough stuff there. There's a rock there. Put a couple dots out, go drop a bait down. And, you know, it was time consuming, and it was hard to find fish. They weren't on very many places, but these couple spots I found were really good, and it paid off. But I think that's sort of, a lot of guys went to Teleco to look for them and spent, you know, some of their practice doing that. But, I think I learned a lot last time when we were there, when I won, just that the fact that, that smallmouth program existed there, that there was a lot of big fish, and that they liked being around the rocks, and they liked my Z-Man jerk shad. And, I went to this tournament, before I even got there. The one thing I did know was that I would fish for smallmouth and try to make it happen somehow, some way. And I stuck to that program, and it paid off.
It did pay off in a big way. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back with more with Jeff Gustafson as we talk about his big victory at the Bassmaster Classic, how he got it done, and what was it like on Sunday when the thing fell apart a little bit for him, and he knew that he only had a couple of fish. We'll talk about that ride home as well. All of it coming up right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives, and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham, and I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats, built by anglers for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for my friends at 13 Fishing. I can't tell you how excited I was to learn that two-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year, Gerald Swindle, had teamed up with the crew at 13 Fishing to build the ultimate rod and reel series that combines quality with a price point that works for all. The result is the Meta line of rods and the Inception G2 line of reels designed to the exacting standards of the G-Man. This is the same gear Gerald bagged over 100 pounds of fish with at Lake Fork last season. Look for them this spring. John Cruz and Missile Baits have done it again. This time they have teamed with Hog Farmer Baits to bring you the Spunk Shad. This bait can be fished like a swim bait or as a trailer on your favorite bladed jig. And now they are available from Missile Baits. Also new this year is the Magic Worm, which did some serious damage on tour last year. They could just call that one the Moneymaker. Missile Baits is also home to the classic D-Bomb, the Baby D-Bomb, the Quiver Worm, and one of my favorites, the Destroyer and Baby Destroyer. Go to MissileBaits.store to learn more. That's MissileBaits.store.
Tom Abraham here from my friend Brian Hammaker and his team at North Alabama Mortgage. Look, buying a home is the biggest purchase you will make in your life, and it can be a bit intimidating, so you want people that can help walk you through the mortgage process and get you the best deal possible. That's what North Alabama Mortgage does, and they do it in Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida, from first-time purchases to refis, conventional, VA, FHA, and USDA loans. They have the solution at North Alabama Mortgage. Visit NorthAlabamaMortgage.com to learn more. That's NorthAlabamaMortgage.com.
There's so much to do, see, and experience in Anderson, South Carolina. Plan your next outdoor adventure with a visit to Lake Hartwell, boating, fishing, hike and bike the nearby trails, experience some history, and after, enjoy the numerous restaurants, shops, and experiences Anderson has to offer. Visit Green Pond Landing right there on Lake Hartwell. Perfect launch point for pleasure boating, fishing, kayaking, or just a nice walk beside the water. Come see why Anderson is called South Carolina's bright spot. Check it out at visitanderson.com. That's visitanderson.com.
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Squarebills, and the Shad Wrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinnerbaits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. We are in the Rapala Winner's Circle with our Bassmaster Classic winner, Jeff Gustafson. And Gussie, you know, 18-8 on the first day, you talked about how quote-unquote easy that was, and we saw you scouting. I know by the time I got on Bassmaster Live, all you were doing was driving around looking for new spots. And you had your limit at that point. Another 17-3 on Saturday was a little slower. You had caught one late in the day, the last one that's in the bag, in the canal area there, right by that bridge. And then on Sunday, it looked like you wanted to start there. When you got there, Drew Benton was sitting on that spot. And unbeknownst to you, Drew had actually started there each of the last 2 days beforehand. But when you got there, just take us through your emotions, because it seemed like a lot of people, a lot of social media blew up saying, you know, it looks like Drew Benton's trying to steal, you know, Gussie's spot. And I didn't really feel like it was that. What was your take?
Yeah, so the last couple days, I mean, it's been a blur for me. And I have heard that Drew has taken some flack. But, yeah, no, he did nothing wrong. I, at the end of day two, that there was a where when he was fishing there, there was a little bit of rock and a little bit of a hole. And I caught some fish off that in the 21 tournament. And anyway, end of day two, I had a good call right there. And there was a school of fish that I could see when I caught this one. And I just decided that, yeah, that would be a good place to start in the morning. It was kind of a quick little inconspicuous spot, I thought. And on day three, I rolled. I mean, when I got to the canal, I mean, there was just boats everywhere. So, you know, and I just pulled right up over there and oh, it's Drew's here. And I got closer than I probably should have to him. And he was right on where I wanted to be. So I just quickly kind of, head down, idle across to the other side to another little quick deal that I wanted to hit over there. And I guess when I was idling away, he caught a good one, and I didn't even know it at the time. And
yeah, that was the other thing I was going to ask you. Did you see that 3 3/4 or whatever that he caught? Because he was literally hooked up as you were pulling away, and I'm like, oh God, that's painful.
Yeah, no, I heard about it, and I didn't even look back after I idled away, and I didn't see the fish get caught. But yeah, no, Drew's a good dude. We've never had any issues out there, and yeah, he'd been fishing around there, throughout the tournament. So it wasn't, I knew what I wanted to do. That was sort of my plan all night. And that was, he beat me there. And I just, I just quickly kind of carried on once I knew he was exactly where I kind of wanted to be. So I think sometimes, the cameras are always rolling and people don't necessarily get the whole context of what's going on. And I mean, I didn't feel like I didn't know even that everything was rolling yet and that, what was going on, but, or I would have explained it better at the time.
Made for a great drone shot though. That was pretty cool with you seeing you taking off to the next spot. But, you went all in on smallmouth on this deal. Now I live here in Tennessee and I fish tournaments here in Tennessee. And then this 18 inch limit thing gets really risky. Cause I can't tell you how many 17 and a half inch, 3 pound smallmouth that I can't put in the, it's maddening. And it's like, okay, 14 inches on the largemouth, go get that 10 pounds worth of largemouth and then go and try and upgrade, with the smallmouth. But you really didn't have that much as an option. They were going to be 18 inch smallmouth on that 3 foot long bump board that you use, which we always have a good time with. They were either going to be 18 inch smallmouth or you were going to blank, it seemed like, right? There were no options for you to go and just pick up a couple of 2 pound largemouth here or there.
Right. And since it was the classic, it just made it easier to have that mindset too. If it was a regular season event, I might not went there with that all in smallmouth thing, but I had a good history there and I felt like I had knew a little bit about the fishery and how these smallmouth sort of behave, and everything was that I learned last time when we were there, a lot of it was still kind of relevant. And even though I sort of fished some different spots, a regular season event, I mean, throughout the season, it's every single day is stressful on the Elite Series because it doesn't matter how good you did the day before, the tournament before. If you take your foot off the gas, I mean, these guys will bury you. They're so good. And that's one of the greatest perks of winning the tournament is I get to fish the Classic next year now, and I get to sort of fish the rest of the Elite Series season for free without – if I have a bad day, then it's not going to be the end of the world. And I think it'll, it's going to make it fun. It's going to make the rest of the season fun for me, I think. And obviously like winning the Classic takes some pressure off for the year. And I think my sponsors are going to be happy for the foreseeable future. And life's good right now, but it's a life changing win. But that's going to be fun the next year to not have the pressure that you normally have sort of day in and day out.
Well, speaking of the sponsors, our friend Dave Mercer, your fellow Canadian, he calls it the Kenora dinner jacket, right? Your plaid jacket there. I'm a marketing guy at heart. All right. I'm just going to say this. Why not mix the two? Why not get your jersey guys to do a plaid jersey with all your sponsors on there? You know what I mean? So then all your sponsors get their love and you get to wear the Kenora dinner jacket as well when you're fishing. I think there's something to be said for that. A plaid jersey with your logos on there.
Yeah, no, I probably will have to get something done up. So those shirts that I wear, the plaids or flannels, whatever, they're from Sims, so they're from one of my sponsors.
Oh, okay.
And I wear them because they're just like very comfortable, they're warm. And it's just sort of turned into like my thing. Like
it's a thing,
I do need to get one probably
you know, dotted up with some logos and that'd be funny, but
or at least no, Sims on the sleeve, so we know that those are Sims. I mean, see, now you just told us that. I figured that was something, some lumberjack thing you just ripped out of your closet, and I'm going to throw this on. I used to fish, you know, with this 20 years ago. All right, finally, take us through the ride back, because you got to. It's painful. We're all watching Bass Track. We know that Schmidt's coming on. We know that Canterbury is on them a little bit with the largemouth, and if they happen to tie into a 5-pound largemouth, they're liable to pass you. Just take us through your mindset as you're driving in with two fish in a boat. Even though they were two good ones, they're two fish in a boat. Did you think you had blown it?
I did not think I had a single chance to win. I really didn't. I mean, you look back at the past classics, like somebody always catches them and is a hero on the last day. And I just figured someone else is going to be the hero today, not me. And it was like, you know, almost an hour ride back, and it was horrible. I just really didn't think I was going to have enough. And then, man, I got back and Brian Eady, my camera guy, he said, hey, you are still in the lead on Bass Track, and it's going to be close. It's going to be closer than it says on here, but you have a chance. And that made me feel a lot better. It was still stressful because I had to wait, you know, a couple hours from the time we checked in before I finally got over to the arena. But by some miracle, it was enough. And, I'm sure, Brian Schmidt called me on Monday after, because we didn't really get to talk much after everything happened. And I hated that moment for him. I've been in that position too, where you're down to the end and it was close. And I'm sure he felt extra bad because of how much, you know, if I had won with another limit and it wasn't that close, then I'm sure, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But the door was open for him, and I'm sure he probably wishes that he probably had a decision or two during the day that maybe he wishes he could have done differently. But he called me on Monday and told me congratulations, and just said, you know, he had some really nice things to say, that he's happy for me. And that meant a lot. He's a top notch guy and has won a lot, man. He's won a lot of tournaments and is a good fisherman. Yeah. And I'm sure he'll get another crack at that thing.
Yeah, he had nice things to say to you just in the last segment before you joined us in the winner's circle as well. Jeff Gustafson has been our guest. Gussie, congratulations on the win. Look, there's a lot of money still to be won the rest of the way. I mean, so, you know, it's not like you just go and coast your way into next year's Classic in Tulsa. You might as well go ahead and keep winning some money, right? We appreciate you.
No, you can't. You got to have the killer going a little bit against these guys. I mean, it's competitive, and people have no idea until you launch your boat and go fish against, you know, all these guys, Fider and Kalanuck and Walters and the Johnstons. I mean, it's you go down the list, Christie and Hackney, of all these guys that are, they're machines. And
that's how they feel about fishing against you, my friend.
Well, I can't believe that it happened to me. It means the world. It means everything. And I'm excited for we got a great schedule the rest of the way. I'm gonna give her my best, man.
There you go.
I'm gonna try and win another one for sure.
Jeff Gustafson has been our guest. Gussie, I appreciate you, man. And again, congratulations. All right, we're going to wrap it up. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham. And this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.